In the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you to share his word, to share his vision of the alternative kingdom and what that means for our lives. So what are your primary goals in life? If you sat down and wrote out three things that you are primarily here for in this world, what are they? Where is your heart focused? Or are you into the good life, money and food, good appearances and reputation? These are some of the normal goals that we are encouraged to have as the norm in our everyday lives. We're encouraged to think along these lines. We're in this world to get all we can out of it because we only have a certain number of years to live and then it is over. So grab what you can for yourself and your family and enjoy it. Some reasonable truths in there, but it's truths put in a garb that is very me-focused. And this is a very common way of living life for many people. We hear it from our next-door neighbours, our workmates, our relatives and friends, and even within ourselves. It is continually presented to us quite graphically and enticingly in the advertisements and social media around us. The superstars who are paraded before us embody this ideal lifestyle, which we are then invited to chase after for ourselves. There are even professional people called influencers who are pointing us in this way. That's their job. This is what life's about. This is what you need. And we feel left out if we do not at least get a part of it. After all, who else is going to lead out for me and my family? Who in this world can I trust to get what I need and want? Can I trust the government to be there for me? Perhaps to some degree through the pension and the limited safety net of unemployment benefits and maybe some other things? Can I trust the banks and the financial institutions? Can I trust the education department and schools of the state and of the church? There are certainly some that I can trust more so than others, but none of them are infallible. They all have limitations due to the level of brokenness amongst their leadership, teachers and staff, as well as the differing philosophies that they hold. So, what is the alternative? Is there an alternative to trusting and relying on humans just like us? What might it mean to open our hearts to the kingdom of God and the call of Jesus to follow him? Jesus taught a very different way of living in the world. He said that we cannot trust in our own strength or any human power, but only in God's love and his alternative way of looking at the world. All of our human strivings inevitably come to a dead end, quite literally. They might for a short time look positive and on the outside or at the start, but eventually they come undone, either due to our own frailties or the limitations of other people involved. Today, Jesus invites us to take a totally different view of the life and world around us in the description of the kingdom of God in Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. For a start, Jesus works within a much larger framework. This framework that Jesus presents to us is not just our short time here on earth, but the eternal perspective. The repair and renewal of our human race can only really be understood in the context of life in this world and our ongoing life when we die. What happens in our world is only the first part of a much bigger picture. In our lives, we get a glimpse of the start of the transformation which Jesus is bringing into our world and then beyond. Jesus shows us part of the picture of the kingdom of God that he is creating. And that starts here in this world. This isn't just simply pie in the sky, heaven at the end. This is the kingdom of God now, this afternoon, this week, the next week, the following years, right through to the end of our own lives, as well as then into eternity. Our life in this world as God's people is the dress rehearsal for the real show that is yet to come. Jesus is creating in our world an entirely new creation, and he invites us to be a part of it. It is a world in which our values and goals are turned on their head, and in the process, we are turned inside out. And sometimes that's uncomfortable and difficult, but we are turned inside out. This is a world in which God is not simply the almighty and powerful creator of our world, which obviously he is. It is a universe in which God exhibits his vulnerability and love to the point of giving up his life for others. And we obviously see that in the life of Jesus. And he does this in order to show how radically different are his values and way of life. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus invites his followers to be the advanced guard of the new age and a sign of God's promise for the world. We are to be the salt in the world, the salt in the rotting carcass. This means that we will be sharing our wealth with others in need, rather than gathering as much as we can for ourselves. It might mean that we are financially poorer in the eyes of the world, but in reality we are richer than anyone else, because we are rich towards God in our hearts, and we have discovered new relationships with people through sharing our lives with them. There's the richness in the relationships. We also embrace broken and deeply scarred people who are facing sadness and losses of all sorts, just as we are also embraced in our times of sadness and scarring and loss. In the same way as God has been vulnerable and open to the suffering of people, we too become open to people with pain, loneliness, and rejection. So we do not shelter ourselves behind a bubbly, superficial happiness. Instead, we discover in a deep and profound way what it means to be there for other people through thick and thin. This is really the way to discover the depths of our humanity, in the same way that Jesus also gave himself to people when they were in their most dire of situations. We only need to think of the thief on the cross with Jesus at the end of their lives. Living in this kingdom of God will also mean associating with people who have a bad reputation in the community, as we love them and care for them. We might be looked down on by some supposedly more righteous or glamorous people who might even pity us as losers. But as we reach out to those who are seen as supposedly the scum of humanity, we will discover that we are all in actual fact in very good company with the likes of Jesus, Mother Teresa, and Father Damien. If you don't know about Father Damien, he was a priest who lived for many years with the lepers on a leper island in the Pacific Ocean called Molokai, which is in the Hawaiian archipelago. And he lived with them and loved them and ministered to them. We may not go to the supposed same level as Mother Teresa caring for the dying in Calcutta, or Father Damien living in this alternative way, but we may nevertheless be a threat to those who have chosen an alternative, selfish way of life, living primarily for themselves. They may call us losers, but in actual fact, they are just simply troubled by what we're doing. And they may not like our identification with this alternative, unselfish way of living. And maybe they will even tell us that we are being foolish and naive. The choice before us is not just one of choosing a certain lifestyle, as we so often encourage these days, here is this lifestyle. It is far deeper than this, because ultimately it is a matter of life and death. A selfish lifestyle is superficial and short-term and does not factor in that our lives continue well beyond our time in this world. So what keeps you and me going as we are embraced by this new way of living which Jesus invites us into? What keeps you going? The most important reality is that we have been embraced by Jesus in his new kingdom in our baptism. Absolutely for certain. As certain as that water was on our head, those words proclaimed over us, "You are a child of God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We are in God's kingdom. We are the disciples of Jesus. Each day we begin that day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We begin our day dying with Jesus and rising with him to be filled by the Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus has welcomed us with all of our weaknesses and our foibles, and even the evil that we have done. In this process, we discover the great message of love and grace and the overwhelming generosity of God. This then transforms our heart so that rather than scheming and manoeuvring our lives around ourselves, we now have Jesus as our touchstone. Jesus takes our eyes away from us, onto him, onto God, and onto other people. And Jesus comes as a package of God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus breaks through into our lives with his love and forgiveness and brings with him the best company we will ever have. This includes his dad, our Heavenly Father, as well as the Holy Spirit. John's Gospel tells us that these three come to live in our heart in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 says at the start, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." But later on in verse 23, it says, "The Father and I will come and make our home in you," before you even get to the place that he's making for us. So we are the dwelling place of the Father and of Jesus, and of course, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so this shows us what true friendship, love, and community are all about. God becomes our community, and in turn creates the community of you as pilgrim people. People here in the congregation is our new community of love, community and care. This community reminds us that life is about relationships and care and friendship and compassion. And that goes on forever. And the recent funeral that you had reminds us that it goes on forever. Life is not about how we can get the best for ourselves now, but how we can share genuinely the best with everyone. This includes being there for other people when they are in need, whether that need be a personal crisis or material needs. So let us open our hearts and our lives to Jesus and the kingdom that he is creating amongst us as we discover with him the alternative kingdom, the living that enables us to see the far bigger picture of life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our Lord, our loving Lord who embraces us, calls us to be disciples of you. Open our hearts and our lives so that we can continue to follow in your footsteps each day, trusting that we have all that we will ever need and sharing whatever we might have along that path. In Christ's name, amen.